Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Having a chance last week to watch some games I don't normally get a chance to watch. And we talked about this as a team. You're reminded of a couple things. The very first one is it's a week-to-week battle. You can throw records out the window. Records really don't matter in this league. They don't matter, with all due respect to the football gods, right? I mean, this is the best of the best in the world. You've got to be on your A game every week, whether it's major college football or, in this case, the NFL.
It's another opportunity. They got guys on that team making a lot of money to play football. You can't sleep on nobody in this league. It's the NFL. It doesn't matter if it's 0-15. It doesn't matter. They're going to be ready to play, and we got to play accordingly.
On WGR.
This is Micah Hyde for that Sean McDermott mentioning football gods.
This hour on WGR brought to you by UBMD Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for urgent orthopedic care. Visit UBOrthoCare.com. Fun trivia question coming up this segment about fits.
Get to a call and some tweets, too.
And two things I heard from Sean McDermott yesterday. Maybe we'll ask Sal about this. McDermott at his press conference yesterday was talking about how, maybe it was about Ed Oliver and the defensive line and young players. Did you listen to it? Did you hear him say, I've been pleased?
Yeah, and he stopped and he corrected himself.
And
I found that very interesting.
He pulled it back.
He felt that was too strong a comment to say.
Well, not pleased. Let me take that back.
He's moving in the right direction. It was something.
Yeah.
I heard that too, and I thought, why did he do that?
Interesting that you would, just say, I've been pleased, and then
stop.
Say, wait a minute. No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Not that word.
Yeah.
Which I actually appreciate wanting to get the exact right word on it. But then the other thing that he did, he was talking about, this time I think I'm almost positive he was talking about Ed Oliver, about the real thing you have to work on is, and he's not directly saying it to him so much as he's kind of talking about it, effort on every play.
Okay.
That's in there too. Just like these little glimpses.
It was the next question.
Okay. What
he was
answer?
Asked about how he's 287, he's going up against these big offensive linemen. Is he able to handle the size difference? Yeah, I think that remains to be seen. He's young. We have a small sample size. That said, I love how hard he plays, and sometimes that's half the battle, is how hard you play down in and down out, game in and game out.
Okay. That's not as much direct.
He wasn't necessarily sending a message
that
he's not playing hard all the time.
I didn't hear
but
exactly that way.
I thought the pleased thing, because it's funny, we know, we've talked about, Mike, hang on, we're going to get to in just a second. We've talked about how he's very careful. McDermott is very careful with what he says. He will rarely, if ever, throw a guy under the bus. If there's a question that is perceived to be a negative on a player, he'll typically answer it by saying, all of us need to do this better. Like, he won't actually say, you're right, Jeremy's got to pick his game up. He would say, we've all got to pick our game up. And I thought that was interesting. Like, here's something where they're saying, basically, he doesn't have any sacks, but do you think he's playing well? And he stopped after please. And I thought, that's not like a landmark statement to say you're pleased. So there must be something that he's not pleased with Ed Oliver's game at this point. Does he not want Ed Oliver to hear him say he's pleased and think he'll rest on coattails or something? I just thought that was really odd.
It was very interesting.
Like, it's not like he was going, pro bowler, pro bowler. I mean, it's not like he was heaping praise on the guy. He just said, yeah, I'm pleased. And then he stopped. I found that kind of interesting like that. Like, he didn't want to go that far. And I just don't know why. You know, maybe he's not pleased with his play. 803-0550 to join us. If you're just joining us, good morning, by the way. The Sabres lost last night. You want to talk about the game in Anaheim? Fine. Bills playing the Dolphins. We can talk football with you, too. And whether you actually are worried about facing Ryan Fitzpatrick Sunday, since he will start, not Josh Rosen.
And I'm here to tell you, to talk you.
Fear the beard.
Yeah, just to calm you down.
Who's got a better beard, you or Fitz?
Fitz is bigger. I just got trimmed the other day.
Oh, yeah, it does look a little neater. Yeah,
got taken back.
Okay. Mike in Pennsylvania, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Going into this Miami game, I think the Bills need to just have a complete dominating win to be considered a contender. No more one possession wins. I do think they're playing, quote unquote, from Jeremy White, an XFL team, but they need to show that. They need to, you know, come with a complete game on offense and defense. And I think it will say a lot going in the Philadelphia game the following week, just with the confidence that they would have if they can put a complete game sometimes it's good to go up against a very inferior talent just so you can get confidence, but you have to do it. So I expect a big win if the Bills want to really be considered in that top, playoff division race with New England.
It's an interesting question I didn't think about, because I'm expecting a win, but will the margin of victory, how will I react? I don't think, even if they beat him by 30, I don't think you're going to say, people are not going to say all of a sudden, hey, the Bills are in contention for the...
It's
not going to change, I don't think, the narrative if they win big.
It's one of those rare games where there's almost... It's not to say there's nothing to gain. The only thing to gain is the W column.
Yeah,
that's
I guess to his question, Jeremy, would I be worried if they sweat it out and they win by 7? I don't think I'll read that much into this game either way, quite honestly. I expect him to win. I do expect him to blow him out. But if it's close, I don't think I'm walking in Monday morning and staring at you going, uh-oh.
No, I was actually looking at the schedule and thinking about, all right, rank the games in terms of what they would mean to you. What they... As of right now, today, what it says about you. New England is one, right? That's number one. Number two is maybe Baltimore.
Oh, you're talking about just the whole schedule, not the ones they played already.
The whole schedule. Rank the remaining games in terms of what it would, what you think it would tell you about them. Yeah. New England one.
Baltimore two.
Cleveland three.
I was going to say 2A, 2B. Cleveland is definitely no lower than three for me.
Okay. And Philadelphia is four.
But I put Cleveland's a road game. Philly defensively is kind of having issues. But yeah, I would put Cleveland right up there with Baltimore because it's a road game.
Sure, sure.
And Cleveland is still good, I think.
I'm just working my way to this week is dead last, and next week has something.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's about, all right, get out of this, get healthy. Let's all have a party at the stadium. You're playing an XFL team, beat the Dolphins. And then next week, the Eagles – while their defense might not be good, Carson Wentz is no joke. He's good.
Yeah.
It would be not the best offense they've played, right? Because New England's offense is a little better. But it would be a legitimate offense. To me, it's a worthy test. The Eagles are. And if you beat the Eagles, that's not the Dolphins, So I guess it's the Dolphins and everybody else at this point.
I think it's to the Miami discussion. I was just looking at the Eagles' offensive stats. They're top 10 in scoring. In terms of the Miami discussion, it wouldn't really change anything for me. I don't think it'll be close. If it is, I don't believe I'll be in Monday sounding warning bells. In hindsight, you can look at it. If you're going to do the, that shouldn't have been that close. The Bengals are winless. And what was that, a four-point game when all was said and done?
Yeah.
They were trailing in that game in the fourth quarter against a now winless Bengals team.
Bengals,
you don't look at that. I know. Miami is in its own zip code. I get it. You were going to say the Bengals are actually trying to win.
Yeah, Dolphins could possibly be the worst football team in history.
Right, absolutely. And historically bad, maybe 0-16, but in terms of point differential, they're on pace to blow the record out of the water. They've already been outscored by 100-something points, and they're on pace to be outscored by like 400 points. So I don't, Mike, don't read a lot into it. They could beat them 42-0. And I'm not coming in Sunday going, hey, New England, you're done. Bills are going to win the division. It's just...
It's almost impossible. The Bills would have to win by 100. And even then...
Boy, if they win by 100, we'll have a fun show Monday.
It'll be fun.
I'm going to have to go through two notepads for all the offensive scoring drives. So I don't put a lot of... And as I said, if it's close, I don't think I'm going to be like worried and concerned and all of a sudden go, I don't know if they're going to get to 10 wins now. They just barely beat Miami. I just wouldn't look at it that way.
Will Fitz finish the game? The
Dolphins. That's a really good question.
They pulled their quarterback in more of the games than they've not.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how many times they've had a quarterback finish the game. Will he finish the game? I will say no, in one way, shape, or form. Either he'll have a whole bunch of picks, it'll be a blowout. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt, but I got a feeling he'll be running for his life on Sunday with that offensive line. What are they down to? Their fourth string left tackle? Hello, Jerry Hughes. If Fitz is smart, he gets that ball out in like 1.8 seconds. No, I don't think he'll finish the game. I do think the game will get away from them, and they'll probably throw Rosen in at some point in the second half.
So you're ready for this trivia question?
Sure.
It's a fun question. I'm going to give credit to Joe on Twitter, @BuffaloWins. He sent this to me and said, you should do this for trivia. And I thought, good idea. So, how many quarterbacks, Bills quarterbacks, have started for three different teams against the Bills? Who are they? Quarterbacks that have started for three different teams against the Bills. Fitz has now started for the Dolphins, the Texans, and the Jets against the Bills. Did he start for the Bengals?
Wow, this is really good.
Joe's research, he got it that he didn't find anybody with four starts against the Bills.
How many have three?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Wow, three different teams?
10. And Steve McNair does not count because that's Oilers Titans. We're not going to count that, right?
Oh, okay. He's not a former Bill. It's just a quarterback.
No, I was thinking
former Bills that went and started because of Fitz.
Anybody that started against
three
the Bills
times with three different teams. Oh, okay. It's still a lot of work for me at 7:16 in the morning.
Well, you just got to think of guys that played for a while and played for a bunch of different teams.
And kicked around for different teams. Is there a McCown on the list?
No.
Nuts.
Most of these guys are kind of good. There's a couple really good ones, a couple middle good ones. I can give you hints.
I'm just trying to organize in my head teams and guys who've moved around. It's taking too much time. I don't want to drag the show down. Give me a team. One team out of any of those guys that anybody would have played for.
Give you a team?
Just give me a team for one of the guys.
All right, I'll put it this way. Three of them. There's a lot of divisional
Case
stuff.
Is Keenum on the list?
No.
Okay.
You got to think about better quarterbacks. Guys that would have three starting jobs. Three of them played for the Jets. These are guys that have started against the Bills for three different teams.
Sanchez?
No.
He's not good enough? I got to think better quarterback?
You get guys that would have been given three different starting jobs. Jonathan, you can jump
Vinny
in as
Testaverde.
Well. Correct. Vinny Testaverde started for three different teams against the Bills.
Was that the guy with the one of the Jets guys? Yeah, he was in New York, sure.
Yeah, there are three guys that played for the Jets. Maybe, I think it's just three.
Pennington wouldn't have been on. Pennington? Nah, two.
No.
He would have started with the Dolphins.
Matt texts in another correct answer. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Played for the Jets. Briefly.
Oh, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Vikings. Packers.
Packers, Jets.
Jets. Yeah. Another guy that played for the Jets. He played for the Jets and the Eagles and the Falcons. Three games against the Bills. You think of him as a Falcon.
I don't know, but is Chris Chandler on the list somewhere?
He should be running around in your mind.
It's Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is correct.
Jets. I just never remember him as a Jet. By the way, rather incredulous like that. How did you not know it was Michael Vick? I don't like the tone of your voice there.
No, I was surprised neither of us had come to the conclusion at that point. I was like, oh, it's
Michael
Vick.
Experience.
Okay.
All right, a couple more. Ready?
Boy.
Dolphins, Broncos, Bears.
Jay Cutler.
Correct. Jay Cutler.
This gets a lot easier when you start listing off the teams.
Right.
I'm like, what guy started games for each of these three teams?
Well, the funny thing is I got to go and Google some of these because while Joe did all this work for us on this this trivia question, he didn't list that. Okay, this one is
Alex Smith. No, he would
Bengals, Lions, and probably Seahawks, maybe Dallas. Three starts against the Bills. Started with Seattle, went to Cincinnati, where I think most people think of him as a Bengal. Then to the Lions. Yeah, that's it. So it's going to be Seahawks, Bengals, Lions.
It's not this guy, but is Carson Palmer on the list?
Carson Palmer's not on the list.
Okay. Seahawks, Bengals.
Rob says Kurt Warner is not correct.
Should have had Sal on early. Just can't think today.
What's the hint?
What's the hint
for him?
The only Seahawks quarterback I can think of is Jim Zorn.
Texter's got it.
Zorn.
It's John Kitna.
Oh, yeah. I forget about Kitna. You're right about the Lions.
Okay,
right?
Ready?
Yeah.
This person is a current college football coach. His teams would have been Colts.
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. Who else did he play for?
Chargers. Where else did he would have been? Right? I think he played for the Chargers, right?
Yes.
Was he in the NFC North at some point?
Bears. Definitely played for the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah. Other names.
Sure. Now you people tweet in John Kemp.
The other two, one more. Okay, we'll get one more. This guy's team would have been, three teams would have been, this is a little harder. Jim Harbaugh, Bears, Colts, and either Baltimore or San Diego, he played against the Bills.
Okay.
This guy went to a Super Bowl and lost. His teams would be, I'm checking it right now, Panthers, Giants, and Titans, I believe.
Jake DeLome?
No.
Went to a Super Bowl and lost. Played.
He may have started against the Bills, Oakland. Those are his four teams. Panthers first, Giants second, Oakland, Tennessee. Ooh, I got a new. This we got a new fun quarterback game, the journeyman game, where we list the teams in order and you got to guess who it is.
Well, I'm trying to think who this guy would have been in the Super Bowl with.
Yes,
the Giants wouldn't have lost. The Giants losing a Super Bowl? Have they ever?
They have. And he was in it. They got blown out.
Who did the Giants get blown out by?
It would have been 1999. 2000. It would have been 2000.
Oh, they lost to the Ravens.
Yes, they did.
Before my time.
Dilfer? No.
Played for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Dilfer played for the Ravens.
Yeah.
This guy played for the Giants.
Oh, he was the losing quarterback. Sorry.
The losing
right.
quarterback.
Duh.
The Texters are all over it. They're mad at you.
Yeah, they should be mad at me. Come on, man. It's Thursday and it's early.
You got up early and watched a hockey game.
This is hard. You be 57 and try and remember all this stuff. My brain is dying.
The quarterback for the Giants.
In 2000 would have been... oh, my Lord.
Played for the Panthers.
Oh, Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins.
Gee, many crickets. They should be yelling at me for Kerry Collins. Holy moly.
And then the other two, I can't give you hints because I don't know them. You might know them.
Now you're tweeting Kerry Collins. Tweet it in before I get the answer.
Craig Morton.
Denver Broncos, Dallas Cowboys, and I don't know who the other team would have been.
Mike Pagel.
Oh, my Lord. Colts is all I remember for Mike Pagel. Mike Pagel. Wow, I know he played in Indianapolis, right? I'm just trying to think where else he would have played. Mike Pagel. That's a name. Holy smokes.
So thanks to Joe for tweeting that at me. He sent me a DM on Twitter like, use this. I like good trivia, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever played really for four teams against the Bills.
I think I pulled a hamstring in my brain on that one.
I think Fitz has a shot at four teams against the Bills. He'll play for somebody else next year and just start for them, right?
Okay. Pagel played for the Browns and the Rams. He was in Baltimore, then Indy, and then the Browns and the Rams. And I got to find Craig Morton's third team. Now we're going back into the 70s. That was a tough one. It's good. It was good trivia. Just made me work way too hard.
If you guys find any other ones, you can send them to me. JD writes in about Alex Smith, but that's not right.
No, he hasn't played three.
He hasn't played.
He would have played San Francisco, right? Was he the quarterback
if he
there?
Were here in 2 weeks?
In this, right.
That Yes. Chiefs, the game in 49ers, and then the Redskins would be another one, but he didn't play against
the
Bills.
Was he the quarterback in the blowout loss out there when San Francisco had like 8 million yards?
For sure. Okay. They definitely played against him out there.
So, yeah, I thought about him, but I knew there wasn't a third team because they hadn't placed him with Washington yet. Craig Morton, Dallas, Denver, the New York Giants. I do not remember Craig Morton in the mid-70s with the Giants, but that one made me work. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550. Let's
get you working early.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm sweating up a storm here. Sal's coming up in a moment with the latest on the Bills. We'll talk to you about the Sabres game last night and whether or not you're actually worried about the Bills facing Ryan Fitzpatrick on Sunday. He's been named the starter for this game by the Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. We have tickets to give away to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They're going to be at the KeyBank Center Saturday, December 14th, an 8 p.m. show. Minimum value of the prize is $100. The tickets are courtesy of Metamorphic Concerts, and general contest rules apply. We'll get a couple winners in right now. 644-9878. Caller 5, you will win. Caller 6, you will win. So dial up the contest line. 644-9878. This is for a pair of tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra December 14th at KeyBank Center. 644-9878. If you don't win tickets and you'd like to get tickets, they are available right now at tickets.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's Eichel with a steal, though. Makes his way into the Anaheim zone. Eichel leaning towards it and scores! The Eichel Tower drives the wing, cuts to the net, and gives Buffalo a 1-0 lead. Sent in front by Skinner. They're looking for it. It's loose. Reinhardt, far side, scores! Victor Rockenrolofsson with yet another power play goal for the Buffalo Sabres, and it is 2-0.
Those are the first moments of the game from last night. The first moments of the game for all the moments in your life go forth to Firth. Those were the two goals scored by the Sabres. They took a 2-0 lead, and then Anaheim scored late in the first, ended up scoring five straight, the last one an empty netter, and record a 5-2 victory, the first regulation loss by the Sabres this season.
Quick correction from our trivia question. We did our quarterbacks to have started three games against the Bills. I left one out. Joe at Buffalo Wins, who sent me this list and suggested we do it, he included Neil O'Donnell, and I just looked right past him. Neil O'Donnell started three games against the Bills. Four? Which three teams?
Steelers and the Jets. I would have never gotten the third.
Bengals?
Yeah, I would
never.
Do not remember him in a Bengals uniform. It's tough. I can remember guys with two teams. The third team, I just block stuff out, apparently. The Oilers won again last night. Connor McDavid had five points in their win over the Flyers.
Your stat of the day is that the Oilers are, I just had it here, it disappeared, plus 14 when McDavid's on the ice and minus 14 when he's not.
So can they play him, what, 40 minutes a game? Maybe double his ice time a little bit?
Just everyone else's job should be to go out there and don't do anything.
Yeah, just wait for McDavid to go out there and take the game over. The Leafs lost last night to Washington. Bills news, we'll get to the injury report with Sal in just a moment. Ryan Fitzpatrick will start Sunday for the Dolphins. Roger Goodell says the league would like an 18-game schedule. They would settle for 17. The players at this point want no part of it for the most part. Mason Rudolph is out of concussion protocol for the Steelers. And your Thursday night matchup is Kansas City at Denver. The Yankees and Astros were postponed yesterday. They'll try and get in Game 4 of the ALCS tonight in a first pitch around 8:08. And Joe Maddon is the new Angels manager. Headlines brought to you by Pizza Hut. More than a big dinner box with two pizzas, breadsticks, and your choice of wings or pasta. They're that extra special something when everyone gets their favorite. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Hey, and don't forget, I was playing around with this yesterday on my day off. The new Rewind capability at the radio.com app. Rewind and never miss a moment of WGR with radio.com Rewind. Download the radio.com app or go to radio.com/rewind for more information and never miss a moment again.
The most excited I am about this feature is when I'll be hanging out doing something at home and, you know, just check Twitter and someone will reference, holy cow, the call that Chopin Bulldog just took.
Yeah.
I'll be able to just rewind and listen to it.
You could.
Instead of, okay, 4:35. All right, I'll wait for that to get posted on demand, and later today I'll go check it out at 4:35. Nope. Rewind right away.
I did use it more to check out stuff. I went back and there's little, like, you can see where the break times are, little hash marks on a basically almost like a
space bar. You just go back
bar
to listen to the things I say because you don't listen to me normally.
Yes, it was not to go back and listen to Mike Pereira for some specific things he brought up. It was what you just said. That's right, to go back and listen to you and Sal from yesterday. Sal's joining us on the Western Hotline as we'll talk some Bills football with him. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Good morning. I woke up and did the same thing. I haven't done it yet, but I said, oh, Lorenzo was on this morning, so I'm going to go back and rewind that.
And you can go back 24 hours. How cool is that?
Cool. So I could don't have to wait till on demand. So that's it's a really cool feature. I like it.
Injury report. What do we need to know, Sal?
I think the big thing to know is that yesterday after practice, John Brown popped up on the injury report and the practice participation report. I should say it's not really officially. It is an injury report, but you know, the status doesn't come out till Friday, obviously for games. But he popped up with a limited participation with a groin injury. And that could mean anything, guys. I mean, he may have just felt discomfort and left the practice. He could have had something happen that's very concerning. We don't know that. So we'll wait until today to find out. So that's the one thing I think that's notable on a negative side. The positive, obviously, getting a lot of guys back full, including Cody Ford, who was in concussion protocol, Robert Foster, who had a groin injury, Taron Johnson, who had a hamstring injury, Tyler Kroft, full practice, ankle injury, Mitch Morse, who had an ankle injury, full. Trent Murphy was in concussion protocol after the last game, and then Devin Singletary, full practice with the hamstring. So I think all those are really good. And then Corey Thompson, limited, you know, that's a good sign. He's starting to get back.
I was going to ask you about Tyler Kroft. I feel like we've been down this road before. So I wasn't even – maybe I should just wait until Tyler Kroft plays and then the day
probably
after
right.
the game ask you, hey, what'd you think of Tyler Kroft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I talked to him in the locker room after practice. He's obviously super excited to get out there, but he also was super excited the last time, and he had that setback. We know he had the other injury, so, you know, but he's really, really excited, and he feels good. He feels like he's put in, like, really good work to get here and that he's going to be ready if and when he's called upon. There's no guarantee he's going to play Sunday, so we'll see, but I know that he's ready, and he wants to get out there as soon as possible.
The whole thing about Miami and being a big favorite and all this stuff, you guys, a number of media were bringing that up with Sean McDermott yesterday with other players in the locker room. Hey, you know, you guys were, what would it have been, 16.5 underdog at Minnesota and they won the game. What's the general reaction when you talk to those guys about the heavy favorite and or taking a team for granted, being overconfident going into this game?
You know, I think we all understand that Sean McDermott gets a lot of people think, oh, he's boring, or he's always kind of close to the vest. He never does anything. He's always the same guy. This is why. This is a great example of why he's like that. And you have to understand that, like, he has tried to build a mentality and a culture and a organizational belief that every day stays the same, no matter who you're playing, no matter if you're a 16-point favorite or you're a 16-point underdog. We approach every day the exact same. So that's why you never get anything different, because that's something that's calculated. That's been put into place for 3 years now. It's the same reason that they got to a playoff game against Jacksonville and he was the exact same way as he would be this week, or that he was when they were 16-point underdogs against Minnesota, like you referenced. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference from week to week and from day to day. I'm down there every day. I can never tell a difference on who they're playing or what the point spread is. We know because we asked them about it. But the way they go about their business, you would never know. So that's what you get from the players, too. And you can feel that and you can hear that. It doesn't matter who you ask. They will give you the same answer today playing the Miami Dolphins as 16.5-point favorites as they will if they were 16.5-point underdogs in Minnesota last week or playing the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Now, sure, do they know that they're playing a team that's winless? Of course. But again, I'll go back to other coaches like Rex Ryan, they weren't like that. It was a little bit different. You could get a sense of a feeling of guys were, I'm not even going to say overconfident, but they had a certain swagger about them when they had games like this and like, yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to do our thing, and, you know, we're going to keep this team down. This is, nope, respect our opponent, they can beat us, but every single day is the exact same, and this is why it is.
The press conference yesterday with Sean McDermott, we were talking about the answer about Ed Oliver, which we found rather interesting, that he started to say he was pleased and then literally said, let me pull that back. What was that all about?
I gotta go back and look at that, and I don't have that
at the
my
tape?
Fingertips
you
again.
You gotta go back and listen to the tape, huh? Okay.
I gotta go back. I do have to go back and look at the transcript now that you said that.
I've got it in front of me.
What was the exact question here? Because I'm probably busy typing when he's talking and saying that.
The question, he was asked about how Oliver's 287, now he's in the NFL, he's going against guys that have 30, 40 pounds on him. Is he able to handle the size difference? He didn't see it too much in college. It was before that. I'm sorry, Sal. It was about how he's got no sacks. But do you feel like he's done what you expected of him doing right now in this system? And he talked about learning how to play, and it's an unselfish position at defensive tackle. And he started to say, it's a fine line there with respect to the job description for a defensive tackle, and I've been pleased. Let me pull that back. Not pleased, but I feel like we're moving in the right direction with our young players, including Ed.
I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
I remember that now,
and now I'm looking at the transcript again.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I just know that Ed Oliver really wants to get a sack. He's voiced that. He's said that, and sometimes I think when that happens, guys start to press a little bit, and maybe that's what's happening. I'm not really sure. I know that, you know, Jordan Phillips had a really good game, as you know, against Tennessee. He played third downs. There were some where Ed Oliver came off, and maybe they were just rotating, you know. I mean, they don't have Harrison Phillips now, right? So maybe they were just rotating a little bit more. But it was noticeable, you know, that Jordan was out there, and obviously he had the sacks. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's criticizing Ed Oliver there. I think if anything, what he's saying is he wants to make sure Ed is doing what he's supposed to be doing and not giving him reaffirmation that, you know, he can just kind of do what he has to do to get a sack, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I think because Sean, that's the way he is a lot of times, where he doesn't want to put out there that, yeah, this guy's doing exactly all the things right all the time, because he wants everybody to know we need to keep working every day, we need to keep improving every day. And that's kind of his way of doing that through the media.
Okay.
I wonder, Sal, you know, I think if you hear enough about Oliver, I'm not trying to paint this like it is a problem, but I think what you hear from the Bills is they're working with a young player, and mm-hmm. whether it's not that there's an attitude problem, but maybe there are some habits, maybe there's something a little bit different, because whenever they, I don't want to say whenever they talk about him, but there just seems to be a little something to that.
To add into that, Sal, I don't have Monday's transcript in front of me, but Leslie Frazier was asked the same question, right? And didn't he say, he said something on Monday about, to paraphrase, to Ed's credit, he's not going beyond the system. Like, he's not trying to, you know, go out of his way to get a sack. He's staying within the system. He's doing what the coaches are asking him to do, which might go to Jeremy's point about, you know, maybe you might worry about a kid getting frustrated and basically freelancing so he can get a stat and a sack. And here's Frazier saying he's not. He's doing what we ask him to do in our system.
Yeah, and again, I mean, if you talk to Ed Oliver, like, you know, you it's clear, like, he wants to get a sack, and he hasn't had one yet. And I think he's played pretty well. I think he's had times where he's pressured the quarterback. He's impacted the play. But I think by this point, if you would have asked anybody after they drafted him 6 weeks into the season, you know, do you think Ed Oliver, five games in, how many sacks would he have? I doubt people would think he'd have zero on the board, right? And I think he sees that. He feels probably pressure to live up to his draft status, to live up to his playing status, basically, and what people thought of him coming out. And I think he's going to be a good player in this league still, but it is interesting. And I think that the way that Sean especially answers questions, even Leslie, it's calculated to make sure that the player is also understanding that, you know, they're being told, hey, you know, we're not giving you carte blanche here to do whatever you want, but, you know, we just have to keep working every day and get there. And I think that that's their way of telling Ed the same thing. Like, just keep doing what you're doing and not try to press.
Josh Allen met with you guys yesterday too, Sal. Did he have anything to say in terms of how he's felt, how he feels about his first few games and what he needs to do better coming out of the bye the rest of the season?
No, I mean, look, Josh is always going to tell you the same things, which is he has to understand when he can make certain decisions, when he can't. Taking care of the ball is always something that, you know, he talks a lot about. You know, he's always aware, it seems, to when he makes that he's making certain decisions that are hurting the team, right? He's making certain throws that are hurting the team, and he always says that. And he has to not put the ball in harm's way, as he said. That's what he said yesterday. Things that he's working on. So coming out of the bye week, good time for him to kind of step back and look at that. But we've heard that before, and I'll always say it, Howard. You and me and Jeremy, we're gonna be sitting here maybe years from now. We might be having the same discussion, hopefully not at the level we are now, but I think he's always going to have a little bit of that in him, and he's going to say, yeah, I got to know better not to do that, because it's who he is. It's in his DNA to do stuff like that. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been in the league 15 years, and now he doesn't have the talent that Josh Allen has, but he still puts 50-50 balls up all the time and just like, okay, if I throw an interception, I throw an interception.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess, you know, right, but with Fitz, we know who he is. He's just a journeyman quarterback. We don't want to be having this discussion in 15 years.
I know, but Brett Favre was the same way. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Josh wouldn't be here in 15 years if he was Ryan Fitzpatrick. So
I understand that, but again, okay, but Brett Favre did the same thing, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Which is fine, because Brett Favre could get you 350 yards and three touchdowns with a crazy pick, and I'm completely good with that.
Well, I know. I'm telling you, I think we'll be here. He's never going to be the guy that always makes the right decision and doesn't turn the ball. He's going to have these things. This is who he is. But again, if you want to take that completely out of him, then you're also going to take away some of the ability to have those games that you want.
Right. No, I'd rather leave it in him and have him have some big games. Yeah, I'll live with
it. I'll trade one touchdown for one pick all day long.
Right, and I think that's probably what you're looking at even in the future. I think that it's limiting, and it's not. To me, it's never going to be about eliminating it.
No.
I think it's limiting it.
Let me say what I mean there. I don't mean
at the end of the year.
I don't mean one touchdown and one pick is okay.
Right.
But whatever he's doing now, you know, if you throw four touchdowns and four picks, and people never talk like this, everyone's so afraid of turnovers. Four touchdowns is 28 points. Mm-hmm. Four picks with this defense is how many points?
Yeah,
that's right.
14?
Right.
Maybe.
You know, like,
it
shouldn't be 28.
As long as this defense is built the way it is, I'll take a touchdown for a pick because of the way that they play. And that just means that if he's throwing deep and he's making some mistakes, I can live with it. Because interceptions put it this way, an interception for Ryan Fitzpatrick is much more damaging than an interception for Josh Allen on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But here's the thing, though. We all recognize he won't have the same defense as Allen.
Right, for sure. In his individual development, that's fine. But like in this moment, it's kind of like the it's kind of like the contract window, Sal. You know, when you've got a cheap quarterback, you do things a little differently. When you've got an expensive quarterback, the same way. So it's not to say I want him to get all crazy loose with the football, but just that it's a perfect scenario to kind of learn that you can't get away with that. Your defense is bailing you out. Your defense is bailing you out. That's not always going to be there. It's kind of like it's a little bit like training wheels on some level, that this thing is here to protect you. It's a safety net. And for now, you can get away with it, even though he's trying to learn to stop it as much as he can.
Yeah, you know, when people look at some of the offensive numbers, where they are, and the fact they're still growing, and like I refer to, remember Monday I did a show basically based on Scott Kaxmar's tweet. Did you read that tweet about how he said, boy, the number two team in the AFC had to have a 16-point comeback. It went late against the Bengals to beat them. Excuse me while I throw up, or something like that he wrote, right? And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win the league. There's not one way you have to win. And the way the Bills have chosen is it's okay to win with defense as we bring the offense along. You know, that's not who the Kansas City Chiefs are, obviously. So that's who they are right now. They understand they're an offense that's still evolving and an offense they're still bringing along. And they're doing that while they have a great defense. And they know we have a really good defense and we can continue to bring our offense along. We don't have to go out there and score 30 points a game to win. So we're not going to try and score 30 points a game to win. So we're never going to have those kinds of numbers that those teams have. And I think that's just people have to understand that that's where the Bills are in relation to their development compared to where other teams are, and they're okay with that right now as they move along.
Sal on the Western Hotline. Mr. Capaccio, thank you. Book us for Football Friday on your schedule, please.
I'll try. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Squeeze you in.
You're a good man. Sal brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Weather will be nice for Sunday's game, sunny and low to mid-60s. And we'll have it for you here. Our coverage begins at 7 in the morning with Bill's Breakfast. Game day at 8, countdown to kickoff at 10. The 1 o'clock game for New Era Field. Chope and Bulldog on the post-game show. And I probably should check if Nate Geary's back from his European travels for the overtime show Sunday night. Either way, it's on at 6. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm sure 5 years from now, 10 years from now, someone will be able to write about it. It's not my job to do that. And again, I know you guys are probably frustrated, but you're talking to a guy that has, I would say, a big job, you know, to get the players ready, that we're discussing something that has nothing to do with where my mind is right now, honestly, you know, and I respect the hell out of you guys. You know that. I just wish I can give you the insight.
That's funny.
The answers that
we're going to hop in on Doug Marrone there because I would beg to differ with that answer.
You ever see...
All due respect...
I respect the hell out of you guys.
I would say no.
You ever see those topics on Twitter where people will ask the question, or maybe it's, you know, it can be online or anywhere. What would you say to let people know you're being held hostage? You know, you say something that's so out of character that people say, oh my God, he's been compromised. I think Doug Marrone has been compromised.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the hell out of you guys.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Call the police. Something's not okay.
That's funny. He said it with a straight face. I'll give him credit.
Right. I go to a podium. I hate tanking. Tanking is terrible.
It's reprehensible.
You would know.
It goes against everything I've been brought to believe in.
You would know. Yeah. He's been compromised.
Right. And he said
something
it without,
has
he
happened.
He said it straight faced. He said it without snark. I mean,
I respect the hell out of you guys.
Yeah, that's just, come on. Feed me another line. Thanks for playing that. That was, it's kind of made me laugh, actually. Hey, when we get back, I want to, wasn't here yesterday, and I wanted to share some of the comments and talk a little bit about what Mike Pereira said the other day. He was on One Bills Live. After the Monday night game with the hands to the face penalties, we're in another discussion this week about officiating and replay and where the league is at with all this stuff. And Mike Pereira had some really good stuff to say, the former vice president of officiating for the NFL, when he was on with Murph and Tasker on Tuesday about the PI challenges. You're going to hear more talk about the sky judge. Okay, John Perry from ESPN, former NFL referee, says it's now time for a sky judge. And he wasn't for it a few weeks ago, and now he is after Monday night. It's just, if you haven't learned from overreacting to the Rams-Saints game, when will you learn? I want to get into that and play back some of the comments Mike Pereira said with Murph and Steve, because I thought he brought up some really interesting things. And he said something that was really funny, which he's right. It'll never happen, but he was really funny when he said it. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. The Sabres lose to the Ducks last night. You want to talk hockey? You can. Are you actually worried about the Bills facing Ryan Fitzpatrick on Sunday? If you are, you can let us know at 803-0550 or 888-552-550 on WGR. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.